Hi there, I'm Audrey Adams, and this is Talk with Audrey, insightful, intelligent, inspiring information and conversations to help you improve the quality of your life. And today we're going to talk about prostate cancer. It is a common, unfortunately, it's a common health event for many American men. And according to the National Cancer Institute, 14% will be diagnosed in their lifetime, and that means about 220,000 new cases in 2015. But evidence is mounting that many men with prostate cancer are receiving treatments they don't need and that are reducing their quality of life. Dr. Jerome Ritchie, the Chief Medical Officer of Metamarks Genetics, joins me, and we're going to talk about prostate cancer treatment options. Welcome to Talk with Audrey, Dr. Ritchie.
Thank you, Audrey. It's nice to be with you today.
Thanks for joining. This is a shocker. I mean, what? What do you mean? Evidence is mounting that many men with prostate cancer are receiving treatments they don't need and reducing their quality of life. That's something that if I were a guy and I, you know, was battling prostate cancer, I would be like, what?
Well, there is a great deal of debate about prostate cancer. First of all, you're correct in your statistics. It will affect 1 in 7 men throughout their lifetime and more if they have a family history of prostate cancer or they're African American. But what we're learning is that not every patient needs to be treated for prostate cancer, and this is where some of the advances are helping us to decide who should and should not be treated. Prostate cancer is as common in men as breast cancer is in women, the leading cause of cancer and the second leading cause of death, so it's still a significant problem.
The second leading cause of death part, is that because men don't go for the exam that could potentially identify prostate cancer?
That's part of the problem. There are estimated to be about 27,000 men who die in 2015 from prostate cancer. And that's way too many. But the problem is that some of these men are not diagnosed until they have more advanced disease. So Earlier diagnosis is better. But the debate comes because not everybody who has early diagnosis of prostate cancer needs to be treated.
Right. Before we talk about that part, can you just talk about some of the signs and symptoms for men out there that they need to know?
Correct. The problem with prostate cancer is that there are no specific signs or symptoms, and this is why the screening with a blood test, the prostate-specific antigen or PSA, is important, along with the digital rectal examination. The prostate is a golf ball-sized gland that sits at the base of the bladder. The urine goes through the prostate like a straw through a golf ball, and as men get older, the prostate enlarges and it squeezes on that tube, makes it more difficult to urinate. So most men who have trouble with urination and getting up at night's frequency are because of benign enlargement of the prostate. But some of them, it's occurring because there's prostate cancer in the prostate gland.
And so this, it develops over a long period of time, or is this something that can come on rather quickly?
Most of the time it develops slowly over a long period of time. We used to think prostate cancer was a disease of older men in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, but with some of the autopsy series from Detroit and other places, we found that there's prostate cancer even in men in their 40s and 50s. Now, that doesn't mean that all of these men are going to die from prostate cancer. It's estimated that about a third of men over the age of 50, if they died and you looked at the prostate cancer carefully, you would find a focus or a small area of prostate cancer, but about 3 or 4% would die from prostate cancer.
Got it, got it. So, you know, having that PSA and that digital exam is really, really important in terms of identifying it. And it's just, it's healthcare, right? You just, guys don't like to go to the doctor, period.
Absolutely, but I think it's critically important, and the problem is that there is so much debate about it that the primary care physicians are getting mixed messages. Some of the quasi-governmental agencies are saying that prostate cancer screening should be discouraged. Unfortunately, the message is coming across, and the number of men who are getting PSAs is decreasing. And I remember before we had PSAs, that at least a quarter of the men already had disease outside the prostate into the bones or the lymph nodes, and we could never cure any of those patients. I would hate to go back to that time period.
Right. So, I mean, it's your health, so you really do have to take charge and tell your doctor that that's what you want rather than waiting for a recommendation.
And you have to be your own advocate for it, because they'll say, well, you don't need this test. The important thing is to discuss the benefits and the risks of doing the screening with your physician. I think it's much more important to have the PSA and know what it is and then decide whether you need a biopsy, whether you need treatment, rather than to say, well, don't worry about it. It's not a problem. It is a problem.
Right, yeah. And it becomes your problem. Ultimately.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely.
So, the over-treatment, how do you, in terms of treating prostate cancer, who should be treated aggressively versus who could sort of actively monitor a situation?
A very good question, Audrey. So the way it works is somebody has an elevated PSA or you feel something firm in the prostate or there's a suspicion, then the man would need a prostate biopsy, which is done in the office, and several little pieces of the prostate are sent to the pathologist. And if there's prostate cancer, they put what's called a Gleason grade on it. Now, the Gleason grade is the way the glands look under the microscope. The scale for biopsies would go from 5 to 10. And the higher the number, the more aggressive the risk. So somebody with a Gleason 8, 9, or 10 almost invariably would need to be treated. But most men, if they have prostate cancer, have a Gleason 6 or a 7. And those are the patients where some will need to be treated, but many will not need to be treated.
So do you ask your doctor after this biopsy what your score is, and then they tell you and you make a determination at that point?
Well, once the diagnosis is made, then the patients go to the Internet. They get all kinds of information. They get confused. And that's where we spent all of our time trying to educate patients and helping them decide about what the best treatment is. Because not all prostate cancers are the same. Some of them need to be treated aggressively, but many can be more slow-growing and may or may not ever need to be treated.
Mm-hmm. And what about age? Is that a factor?
Age is definitely a factor. Somebody who's older, or especially if they have what we call comorbidities, somebody who has diabetes, who's had a heart attack, stroke, or other problems, may not need to be treated because prostate cancer generally is a slow-growing cancer. So the physician has to take into account family history, the PSA level, the number of biopsies that are positive, the Gleason score, all of these factors together to try to decide what's the best recommendation for treatment. And fortunately now we have a growing number of tools that are available to help doctors further decide what the risk is for their patients.
And you mentioned you have some additional tools. What are they? That's what people want to know. Like, you know, what are
they?
Help me here.
The main tool that we're looking at now is called ProMark. It's a test that looks at proteins in the biopsy to help refine the risk and give a better idea of how aggressive the tumor is. And this is one of a number of factors that can help. So if a patient is deciding, there are basically three options. One is called active surveillance, where we watch the patient with periodic PSAs and biopsies to be sure we haven't missed a more aggressive tumor. One is radiation therapy, and one is surgery. And each of these is right for the right patient, but the task is to decide what really needs to be done to educate the patient so that they can help participate in the decision, because each of these treatments have their own side effects as well.
And it's the side effects, quite honestly, and you know it, that men are worried about.
And
it's like no woman, of course, wants to lose a breast or both breasts in many cases to breast cancer or their life. But with men, they're like, what happens to the rest of my life? What happens to my sex life? Does everything go away? What about incontinence? What about all these things that they've never really had to deal with that I think have an impact on how they feel about their masculinity?
This gets into the issue of what we call quality of life. And that's clearly very important and something that we take into consideration in our discussions. Each of these options for treatment or active surveillance have their own risks. Active surveillance, you have the risk of missing something aggressive that may end up spreading outside the prostate, in which case we can't cure the patient. Radiation therapy can be given by seeds, which are little pellets into the prostate, or what's called external beam daily treatment for about 7 weeks. And these can have effects on erectile function. About half of the men will have trouble with potency within a year after radiation. It can affect frequency, urgency, or bowel movements. Surgery is a major operation to remove the prostate. Most men have trouble with urinary control initially after surgery, but long-term, only about 5% will have problems with leakage. Potency or erectile function is critically important for most men, and after surgery, we do have nerve-sparing techniques that can help regain potency, but it does not occur in all men. Fortunately, there are other options to help regain potency. When I would talk with men and you would really focus down, it was survival, then continence, then potency in most men.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah, because survival would be first and foremost on my mind. And you know, and whenever you talk to men about prostate cancer and what have you, it's like, oh, you know, I'm scared. What if I have it? And I'm like, well, you know, if you have it, it means that you might, you know, you let it go and you don't know, then the outcome might not be so good. Wouldn't you want to live?
Absolutely.
That's why I like having these conversations, because people don't know.
Well,
you can't ask about.
Yes, everybody is scared, and they hear the word cancer, and they say, I've got to get this done right away. But the message about prostate cancer is that, in general, it tends to be slower growing, and you have the opportunity to do your research, to gather more information so that you really can make the best informed decision. And the important thing is that there's no one right decision for any one individual. You have to take in a lot of factors, as I've mentioned, with all the staging of the disease, but also the patient has to participate. They have to recognize what the risks and the benefits are. They have to look at their family history. If somebody has a father who died of prostate cancer, they may want to get screened much earlier, like in their 40s. African Americans should definitely begin screening in their age 40s, because they have a higher risk. It's estimated that about 1 in 5 African American men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer.
Why is that?
You know, we don't really know why that is. There have been some studies about genetics and certain molecular tests that are helping us to try to identify, but nobody really has a reason why. We know the genetics are similar to breast cancer in women. We don't quite have the genes like BRCA1 and BRCA2 that are used to screen women, but we're close to finding some of the genes for prostate cancer. But that's not the whole answer. That's part of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, so again, guys, what you're hearing is informed is empowered. You have to speak with your doctor. And as a patient, you have to work with your doctor. Don't sit back and just wait for the doctor to make suggestions. Ask questions. And go ahead and do that research. It's important. Dr. Ritchie, where can people go for more information about this issue of overtreatment and new treatment options that are available?
Thank you, Audrey. There are excellent websites. The American Cancer Society has a good website. The American Urological Association has a good website. Metamark Genetics has an excellent patient information website. That's metamarkgenetics.com. And I would encourage patients, especially with Prostate Cancer Awareness Month, to obtain their PSA and then make a decision rather than say, don't worry about it.
All right. Guys, I couldn't have said it any clearer. So, you again, informed is empowered. You're in charge of your own health. Go get that PSA number. Don't be afraid. Live, live, live. Dr. Jerome Ritchie, thanks so much for joining me on Talk.
Thanks very much, Audrey. Bye-bye.
It's my pleasure. We'll be right back with more information after this.